Well, you know, there have always been women guides, as you know. Always been women guides. But it's... Normally, the women have been guides of women. But also, it does happen, and it has happened historically, that women had communities of mixed gender. So it's not, you know, and also in the early days, it depends on the historical periods, the cultures and societies, of course, where the where those communities were. And so that varied. There's a great amount of variation in the Islamic history, you know, from one end to the other. And let's say here, we fall, obviously, as Westerners, we look a little bit out of the pale to Easterners, you know, as American Sufis. But as American Sufis, actually, we fall pretty much in the middle. We're some people consider us conservative, but as I said, others might look at us as way over the edge. So it's interesting.
I know, I've thought about that, and I've thought about you. Thinking, how would I put her on some spectrum? I can't.
No, good. That's good, yeah. Somewhere within the rainbow and somewhere in the colorless light is, inshallah, our community. That was very much, you know, part of the, one of the Sufi, I would say, wisdoms is the understanding that our ultimate nature is colorless. A colorless so that we can take on all the colors. And this is something that some of the great mystics, and such as Rumi, has talked about. So we do not, how do you say, locate ourselves or are not confined by one particular attribute of God or of human nature, that we are striving is really for the essence, for the source. And from the place of essence, then one is in the entire field, of course. If you are in essence, then you have all. If you are in one part, then you miss all the other parts. So the zikr reflects that in a certain sense by also being axial. So it was a circle that whirls around a center. But the center is really the empty center. The center is the center really that God occupies. But even God, the God even beyond names. So everything is reflected in the zikr, actually. It's like a kind of key or a map to a spiritual journey. It's like a pilgrimage. It's contains many wisdoms within it, and also it's a time when divine knowledge descends. So we call it also, it's not just the expression of love, great passionate love for God, but it's also the open space for divine knowledge to come down into our hearts. So you will feel different after zikr, most of you. Yeah. That, you know, any prayer, really, is a shower of light and divine potency to be used in whichever way we're capable or how we're inclined. So we're given this spiritual gifts and powers to use, to manifest in this life, and to use them for the good of ourselves and for others. And we can also, you know, be like a sieve, which lets, you know, who receives but somehow doesn't hold. And that's what Jesus said, you know, about the master who gave, I think, a coin to different among of people, and when the master came back and asked how had they multiplied the coin, and so they had different answers. And some of them said, well, I invested in it, became a whole flock of sheep, or another that it became an orchard, and another that he put it under a rock and it just sat there. You know, and another, I guess, could have lost it completely. At least he had it under the rock. So, you know, we're constantly receiving gifts in life, constantly. I mean, life is the gift itself. Life is the gift. And but life is like a tree, so it has many branches, many fruits, many aspects, and we're given all of that. And so a spiritual path is really in great part to become conscious, to become conscious of what we already have, not just to acquire something we don't have already, but really to recognize what's already here, who we are, and what immense gifts are already here given to us. So one of the first responses of a traveler along the mystic path is actually gratitude. And it happens naturally that people who enter this order, who take initiation, simply their heart seems to just open in gratitude, and all of a sudden we become grateful for being alive. We become grateful for being in this world, in this creation, and everything that we thought maybe was negative, all of a sudden we can see as a gift, and we become grateful for our parents and for our faculties of hearing, seeing, tasting, knowing, of our mind, of being able to walk, being able to hold, being able to feel, to have skin, to have hair. All of these are actually divine attributes. They're all divine attributes. And it's just because it's part of the nature of being human that we forget, or that it gets covered over as through the process of growing up. You know, you see an infant or a child and they're totally there. They're right. They are shining in divine light. But, you know, this is all part of the great plan. It's all part of Allah's plan. So it's not bad in itself, but it's meant to be addressed. So we have to address our forgetfulness with remembrance. We have to address our ignorance with knowledge. And we have to address the fact that we've fallen asleep on this treasure, which is our own self, by waking up. And so, and if we do that, then, you know, then we'll lead a marvelous life, still with tears. And, you know, it's not without tears. In the Quran, it says life is both tears and laughter, both. It's really that blend of both that makes it so special. It's like the salt and the sweet. So, inshallah, may each of us use our life in the most beautiful way, and and wake up while we are still alive. Yeah. Tonight we're honoring the Guadalupana, because this is the day she's traditionally honored, and because this is the third day that Juan Diego saw her. I think it took three times, actually, for the bishop to recognize that it was truly her, and who came to him, interestingly enough, speaking Nahuatl, which was his own language. So, you know, she can definitely incarnate, embody in all forms, speak all languages. And in that case, how interesting that she honored the indigenous people, and obviously, clearly, you know, she appeared for them and outside of the traditional church structure, which is naturally suited to her nature of being all-embracing, merciful, to be an intercessor, and therefore she certainly could not be contained by any ecclesiastical or formal structure, and rather she came to actually expand that. And her following through this appearance as the Guadalupana is quite extraordinary. It's, you know, I guess it's really for the new world. She appeared for the new world, and as we understand that the new world is giving rise to a a new form, as it should, as it's the new world of relation to God. And we don't really know exactly how that will be, but it will show itself over centuries to come. So she is one of the patrons of that, and beautiful, just that love to her son, apart from any other formality and dogma, is sufficient. You know, so, and of course, Rumi, in a sense, demonstrated something similar, and as do other great lovers of God, and Musafer Ashki also, contemplating him in that same way as the Virgin appears to the indigenous community. So Musafer Effendi came here for the indigenous community of the Americas, of New York, and began something that is spreading, again, way beyond the conventional structures of religion and spirituality, even though, because even spiritual structures can themselves become rigid, as we know, and can become dogmatic. And so they do need, this is why they need to be renewed. And it's the normal, natural process, of course, both the ossification and then the renewal, where the Holy Spirit comes in and stirs everything up. Or maybe it'll just alight in a different place. It can happen in different ways. So the periodic renewal is something that we need, and we need to be attentive to. And of course, renewal is in these terms of, you know, centuries. Every century, it said, there's a renewer, or sometimes every 300 years, then there's a great renewer. But we need also ourselves to renew ourselves, and be careful that we're not falling into habits. Even on a spiritual path, we can become habitual. We can start doing our prayers in a way of rote, and so we need to be constantly kind of stimulated and meet something, you know, which is our life, of course. So if we're awake to our life will usually guide us, but we have to be awake deeply inside and recognize the signs, or just follow our heart. Even if we don't necessarily recognize the signs, but that's what's beautiful about following. If we're really in tune with the heart, then we follow the heart and go the way of love, and that is sure guidance. That is sure guidance. And that will always keep us fresh, because the heart is never old. The heart is always renewed, and the message of the heart is always new. And so if we really follow our heart, we will stay fresh. If we follow form, we will become old and then die, die old. So we want to live forever. So to live forever, one has to be in the freshness of love in the heart, inshallah. So we're dedicating our zikr tonight to her magnificent being, and as a renewer. And as we know, interestingly enough, she herself went outside of the norms of her culture. I mean, here she goes and is, you know, becomes pregnant without a man and without a husband. And so her family thought that she had really transgressed. But in a way she did. She was transgressed convention, that's what she transgressed. And by going outside of convention, already even her birth was unconventional, because her mother was expecting a male child. So there already she surprised. And she had already, as we know, dedicated her to the life of the temple. So then she did go into the temple, and as we know, she was taken care of by her uncle Zechariah. I think he was her uncle, or maybe he was the priest of the temple. And and there she deepened and grew. It says in purity and beauty. How beautiful. And so she deepened in those aspects of God. And then it said she withdrew to the east. So, you know, whether it was a physical place outside of the temple, it could have been. And also the east is certainly the place of the rising of the inner sun, so that she... No, it's fine. Let the child speak. We're here to hear the child speak. So good. Alhamdulillah. So yes, she was a very unconventional being who then gave birth to a very unconventional being, as we know, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Again, was the one who came to, transform and change, and who was given the power to do that. In a sense, all the prophets bring a new message. They all bring a new message. So all the time, their messages will be a confrontation to conventional society and conventional ways of thinking and being. Whatever in us wants to just settle and hold on to and prevent the light from, shining out. Ya Allah, alhamdulillah. So in her glory, in her beauty, in the purity of her heart, from pure of all that is untrue, pure of all illusion, and pure of all that is other than the one reality, we dedicate this zikr to her.